for joining us here at AG Kolkata. We are the church with the open arms, and we serve in the city of joy. It is our desire to reach out to those in need and to be instruments of effective change in a hurting world. If you would like to learn more about us, you can simply go to www.agkolkata.org. We hope that you'll enjoy today's message.
We are living in an interesting world. How many of us realize that? And the daily newspapers, what you watch on TV, our news feeds on our phone, so show us what's happening around the world. As someone eloquently stated, the paradox of our time is that we have taller buildings but shorter tempers. Wider freeways but narrower viewpoints. We spend more but have less. We buy more but we enjoy it less. We have bigger houses and smaller families. More conveniences but less time. We have more degrees but less sense. We have cleaned up the air but polluted the soul. We split the atom, but not the prejudice. We write more, but learn less. We plan more, but accomplish less. These are times of fast foods and slow digestion. Tall men and short character. Steep profits and shallow relationships. These are times of world peace, but domestic warfare. More leisure, but less fun. More kinds of food, but less nutrition. These are days of two incomes, but more divorce. Of fancier houses, but broken homes. These are days of quick trips, disposable diapers, throwaway morality, one-night stands, overweight bodies, and pills that do everything from cheer to quiet to kill. That's the world we are living in. If we can unpack it in our daily lives, turn to a newspaper. I was just a few days ago, saw an article which said, artificial intelligence is getting so big in our world. One guy in China got so attached to the robot he was making, he married the robot. In Indore, some time ago, a man put up on Facebook an advertisement offering to sell his wife. The advertisement carries a picture of his wife with a price tag of rupees 1 lakh. The post also gave his contact details for interested buyers. He uploaded the picture of his daughter and wrote that he's selling his wife so that he can repay his loans. And anything can do anything they want to do with his wife. In short, we live in a wacky, weird, wild world. Can you tell that to your neighbor? That's an interesting four words for you. Wacky, weird, wild world. We shake our heads in disgust and wonder, what's wrong with the world? Some of us who are smart enough have already realized that we are also getting there. Wacky and weird. But what we fail to realize is that the world was always wacky and weird. Ever since the fall of man, ever since man and woman disobeyed God, obeyed Satan, we have been doing stuff which has been wild. The expressions may look different in each century, but the heart of the matter is always the same. This morning, let's turn our eyes to Genesis. We're going to look at Genesis 4 all the way to Genesis 11. Now, some of us may wonder, it seemed to have happened so many hundreds, thousands of years ago. Isn't it irrelevant to our 21st century? Irrational to our postmodern mind? Unreal to our screen-driven lifestyle? But interestingly, the heart issues are still relevant, rational, real as tomorrow morning's newspaper. If the world of Genesis had a Twitter feed, it would go something like this. Brother kills brother in broad daylight. #Cain, #Abel. Insane man completes building huge boat, claims it'll rain tomorrow. Hashtag weird, hashtag wacky. The Twitter journalist was not available for report 24 hours later. World famous one tower project stopped mysteriously. Hashtag gone with the wind. But beyond the headlines, when we turn our eyes to the real backstory, we are face to face with the same basic reality. Regardless of the external packaging of the broken world, the heart of the problem is still the same in every era. Weird, wacky, wild world. What's the problem? I want us to turn our eyes to Genesis chapter 4, 2 to 7. I want us to read this passage. Later, she gave birth to his brother Abel. Now Abel kept flocks and Cain worked the soil. In the course of time, Cain brought some of the fruits of the soil as an offering to the Lord. And Abel also brought an offering, fat portions from some of the firstborn of his flock. The Lord looked with favor on Abel and his offering, but on Cain and his offering, he did not look with favor. So Cain was very angry and his face was downcast. Then the Lord said to Cain, "Why are you angry? Why is your face downcast? If you do what is right, will you not be accepted? But if you do not do what is right, sin is crouching at your door. It desires to have you, but you must rule over it." Cain the farmer, Abel the shepherd. The only two available professions in the beginning time, the ancient world. And both the brothers had the market share with no competitors. Daddy Adam must have been a very happy man. But something hideous was lurking below the surface. That great deceiver who caused confusion for Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden with the bite of a fruit was now at work again with more fruits of the soil and flocks. How could an act of worship, just one act of worship, create such a division in the family? What's wrong with the world? First thing that went wrong was there was a relational breakdown. Relational breakdown. Cain brought his offerings to God. Abel brought his offerings to God. Cain's offering got a thumbs down from God. Abel's offering got a super like from God. The Lord looked with favor on Abel's offering and Cain's offering. He was dissatisfied with. Because in the final analysis, it's not our acts of worship that pleases God. It is a heart of worship that matters. Cain was very angry and upset with his report from God. And instead of working out his anger with God, he releases his anger at Abel. All that Cain had to do was settle it with God by setting right his heart. But instead, Cain's anger was not just about God not being happy with himself, but he was angry that God appreciated Abel. Root of this relational breakdown, at the root of it was a heart of jealousy and envy. Jealousy and envy destroys your heart of worship and your acts of worship. That's why 1 John 3:12 says, "Do not be like Cain, who belonged to the evil one and murdered his brother." And why did he murder him? Because his own actions were evil and his brothers were righteous. Someone said, "Whenever a friend succeeds, a little something in me dies." That's how sometimes we feel. Jealousy, the green-eyed monster, made its first public display in the outskirts of the Garden of Eden. But ever since that day, this monster has been bumping into us in different forms in every street corner. In recent years, he doesn't wait in street corners. He comes on our screens. He comes on our phones and allures us to consider, why can't I get what others have? Jealousy and envy primarily desires one of the three things your neighbor has. Possessions. We look in our neighbor's house, we see on the phone, my neighbor has, it can be anything from iPhones to sports shoes. I want that. Position. My classmate became a class monitor, or it can be a CEO of a company. You want a position that your neighbor has. Neighbor has popularity and performance. It can be winning a team activity in an office picnic or winning the Olympic gold medal. I'm reminded of a thief who walks into a medical shop, holds a gun to the pharmacist's head, demanding money and drugs, and shouted, "You got it, I want it. You got it, I want it." And that's the heart of this heart of jealousy. Cain wanted the favor of God that Abel experienced. And instead of seeking that favor by setting right his heart, Cain messes it up by hating his brother and then going on to kill his brother. Proverbs 27:4 says, "Wrath is fierce, anger is a flood, but who can stand before jealousy?" In the last few years, we have been face to face with the green-eyed monster. Every time you turn the newspaper, we see this result of a relational breakdown. What happens in Genesis happens every day. Celebrity mother plotting the death of her own daughter. Famous sportsman who kills his girlfriend. And it's just not events out there. We can read our newspaper, shake our heads, sort of sad state of affairs. But the tragedy is, when you walk into a place like this, we worship God with our mouths, but we are experiencing relational breakdown with our brother or sister standing on the same row. Men and women who call themselves followers of Christ can't stand the sight of each other. We want to be right in the sight of God, but we can't stand the sight of each other. That's why the Bible says, 1 John 3:15, let's read this verse together. Anyone who hates a brother or sister is a murderer. Wow, pause. Anyone who hates a brother or sister is a murderer. Have you ever said, "I hate that guy"? Well, this is what the Bible says. Anyone who hates a brother or sister is a murderer, and you know no murderer has eternal life residing in him. 1 John 2:9 goes on to say, anyone who claims to be in the light but hates a brother or sister is still in the darkness. Wow, relational breakdown. An issue of National Geographic had this interesting photograph of fossil remains of two saber-toothed cats locked in combat. To quote the article, this is what the article said. One of the cats had bitten deep into the leg bone of the other, a thrust that trapped both in a common fate. The cause of the death of the two cats is as clear as the cause of the extinction of their species are obvious. When believers fight each other, this is what happens. Everybody loses. That's why Paul said it, if you keep biting and devouring each other, watch out or you will be destroyed by each other. Relational breakdown. We move on to Genesis chapter 6. I want us to read this passage together. The Lord saw how great the wickedness of the human race had become on the earth, and that every inclination of the thoughts of the human heart was only evil all the time. So the Lord said, I will wipe from the face of the earth the human race I have created, and with them the animals, birds, and the creatures that move along the ground, for I regret that I have made them. But, let's read that word again. But Noah found favor in the eyes of the Lord. This is the account of Noah and his family. Noah was a righteous man, blameless among the people of his time, and he walked faithfully with God. Every time you read this passage or this entire chapter 6, chapter 7, chapter 8, interestingly, Hollywood loves the excitement elements of this chapter. The Noah movie, Ivan Almighty, all of these movies likes to capture this element of the boat. But the heart of the issue is elsewhere. The Bible passage says, great wickedness. Every thought, every desire was evil all the time. But then it says, in the midst of all this wickedness, God says, but Noah found favor in the eyes of the Lord. Man who lived right, clean heart and clean hands before people, walked faithfully with God. Noah was not a perfect man, but one thing it seemed he did right. He loved God when the rest of the world loved the world. You know how we love God? You love God when you walk in the fear of the Lord. Favor before God is the result of walking in the fear of God. Conversely, you cannot love God when you have no fear of God. You love the world and all it has to offer. What's wrong with the world? Yes, relational breakdown. What's wrong with the world? Breakdown with God. That's why Hebrews 11 verse 7 says these words, by faith Noah, when warned about things yet not seen, in holy fear, let's read that again, in holy fear, built an ark to save his family. By his faith he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness that is in keeping with faith. Interesting. The fear of God keeps one man and his entire family building a boat for a long time. But the passage says the root of this great wickedness was absence of the fear of God. You know what happens when we have fearless hearts, fearless minds? A mind that doesn't fear God. Fearless minds leads to faithless hearts. And faithless hearts leads to unfruitful lifestyle. What's wrong with the world? If the relational breakdown breaks down our conversations with people, a breakdown with God breaks our conversation with God. Today my question is, where do we stand? Either we are a Noah, walking faithfully with God, in obedience to build whatever He's asking you to build. For Noah, it was a boat. I don't know what God is asking you to do. So either you are a Noah or are you a boat observer? You have the front seat just watching someone do all the work. The boat observer, critical, mocking the faithful Noahs around you. Unfortunately, any church, any place like this, we find both kinds of people. My prayer is that every one of us would be like Noah in Genesis 6:22. Let's read this verse together. It says, Noah did everything. Noah did everything just as God commanded him. Wow. Noah did everything. Can that be said about each of us? I'm reminded of the famous story of Michelangelo, who spent 4 years to paint the famous Sistine Chapel. And on being asked, why did he spend so much time and effort on painting the hidden parts of the ceiling where nobody watches the ceiling? Why did he spend so much time to paint that? You know what his response was? His response is, yes, nobody is watching, but God is watching. Nobody is watching, but God is watching. Imagine if all of us in this place, when you head out on this place, we are like Noah and Michelangelo. We would reach 5 minutes early for work because God is watching. All our personal files are in order because God is watching. Our social media platforms are clean and glorifies God and people because God is watching. Our relationships with people, husband and wife, boyfriend and girlfriend, our relationships is pure, holy before God. Why? Because God is watching. Relational breakdown with God. Finally, let's turn our eyes to Genesis 11, 3 to 7. They said to each other, "Come, let's make bricks and bake them thoroughly." They used brick instead of stone and tar for mortar. Then they said, "Come, let us build ourselves a city with a tower that reaches to the heavens, so that we may make a name for ourselves. Otherwise, we'll be scattered over the face of the whole earth." But the Lord came down to see the city and the tower the people were building. The Lord said, "If as one people speaking the same language they have begun to do this, then nothing they plan to do will be impossible for them. Come, let us go down and confuse the language so they will not understand each other." What's the problem with God? Does God have a problem with creativity? Did he have a problem with excellence, imagination, unity? Is God upset when people do great stuff? I want us to read that passage again. God's problem is something else. Let's read that sentence again. It says there, "Come, let us." Let's read it again. "Come, let us build ourselves a city with a tower that reaches to the heavens, so that we may make a name for ourselves. Otherwise, we will be scattered over the face of the whole earth." One sentence. Did you figure out the problem? They were more obsessed with themselves and their own dreams than wanting to do God's dreams. One sentence, about six times, they talk about themselves. In one word, I obsession. Can you tell your neighbor, I obsession? Remember what Pastor Cynthia mentioned a few weeks ago? She spoke about the I boss. The I boss's main job description in life is I obsession. You forget what you are created to be and do. Remember Pastor Ivan, a few weeks ago, he talked about being created in the image of God. Created in the image of God to experience fullness of life the way God designed us to go. Genesis 1, 27 and 28, it says, we are created in the image of God to be obsessed with God's dreams and God's plans. But by chapter 11, that's chapter 1, by chapter 11, the passage shows us they want to be obsessed not with God's plans, but they want to be obsessed with their own plans. And like Satan's temptation to Eve, if you eat this fruit, you will be like God. They had reached a point where the people making the Tower of Babel, they said, we can control our own destiny. We want to be our own gods. So we see in that passage, they are created in the image of God, but by chapter 11, they forget about it. In chapter 1, God says something else to Adam and Eve. God says, you know what? I want you to fill the earth. What does he tell them? Fill the earth. What does fill the earth mean? Yeah, fill the earth. Exactly. But by chapter 11, these guys don't have the energy to fill the earth. They said, we'd rather be together in one place. We want to be doing our own stuff. You know what happens? I obsession happens when you have a self breakdown. You enter, in the words which has become very common these last few months, you enter selfie stan. Can you tell your neighbor selfie stan? You don't want to be any longer in God's stan or kingdom. You want to be your own boss wherever you are. The self has forgotten its original designer's manual to follow God, worship Him, pursue after God's plan. The self desires to chase after itself. Time magazines, every year they feature the person of the year. Usually a famous guy who made a global impact in that particular year. Well, in 2006, Times magazine cover had a mirror. It was a screen. Basically, anyone looking at buying that magazine could actually see a reflection of themselves. Because that was around the time this whole social media revolution took place. YouTube, Facebook, Twitter. And basically, by 2006, Times Magazine was reporting to the world, you know what's the main number one person in the world? Behold you. Yourself. You can do it. You did it. Be all that you can be. Your tube. You don't need anyone's channel. You create the channel. You are the star. The world ends at your feet. Me, my space, not your space. My autonomy, I rule my world. Welcome to Selfistan. That's what it tells us. Welcome to Selfistan. I obsession. Breakdown of self. Earlier last month, based on a survey done among millennials, Instagram was declared as the most narcissistic social media platform. They said, forget Twitter, Snapchat, Facebook. Instagram is the network of choice for the self-obsessed. And most of those surveyed said they know people delete posts if they don't get enough likes after some time. And they also admitted they reward people who like their photos by liking their posts in the future. So C.S. Lewis who said, a proud man is always looking down on things and people. And of course, as long as you're looking down, you cannot see something that is above you. A century ago, in response to a newspaper article that asked, what's wrong with the world today? Famous British journalist G.K. Chesterton wrote a letter to the editor, which read, it simply read these words, dear sirs, I am. Sincerely yours, G.K. Chesterton. What's the problem with the world today? I am. Relational breakdown, breakdown with God, breakdown of self in two words. What's wrong with the world? I am. If we can all reach a place where we confess, I am the problem, there is hope for you and me in this world. Genesis 4 to 11, this first few chapters of the Bible captures for us what's wrong with our world today. And you are seated here, Pastor Jacob, that's interesting to know, but is there a solution to what's wrong with the world? The good news is, yes, there is a solution. Jesus' famous words, Matthew 22, Jesus says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and with all your mind, and love your neighbor as you love yourself. What's the solution in a world gone wrong? How can you and I live right in a wrong world? How can you and I make a difference in a wrong world? Firstly, it means to get back to God. Love God with all of your heart. Hold nothing back for yourself. It's not about me anyway. Give everything to God. Love God with all your soul. You and I are created to live with God forever. Our soul lives forever. We can't live our lives as we are going to be here for eternity. We live with a desire to love God with all our soul. We love God with all our mind and strength, all your mental faculty, physical ability. We must aim to please God. How can I live right in a wrong world? Get back to God. Get back to your relationships. Love your neighbor as yourself. How am I going to do that? How do I live right in a wrong world? Get back to God. Get back to your relationships. Finally, get back to your real you. When Jesus stated, love your neighbor as you love yourself, he took it for granted that you would love yourself. I mean, not super love yourself, but love yourself. What Jesus meant is, you should be able to look in the mirror tomorrow morning and say, I am created in the image of God. I have a destiny in God. I will chase after everything God has in store for me. My challenge to you this morning, when you step out of this place, we live in a weird, wild, wacky world. We step out of this world, into this world, we realize I am the problem. I need to get back to God, to get back to my relationships, get back to being all that God created me to be.
Thanks for listening to this message from AG Kolkata. We hope you can stay connected by following us online. You can find us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram by using @AGCKOLKATA. We would love to know how this message has touched your life. Please take a moment to share your story by emailing us at stories@agkolkata.org. Hope you have a great week ahead.